just a Sunday school. Everybody must be on vacation.
Or worn out.
Yeah, maybe worn out. Well, bless your hearts. Sometimes when we have these conferences day and night for weeks, you do get worn out.
Yeah.
I was worn out. I had to take a couple of days just zombied out. You know. Let's look at the 18th chapter of Revelation. And it's actually a message from heaven about the earth. And I hope to get through the whole thing today. Why don't we read responsive reading? I'll read the first, you read the second, and we'll go up to the eighth verse. That'd be far enough for a start. Okay? Chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities.
Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her up.
How much she hath glorified herself, lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow.
Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her.
That was the message of an angel straight out of heaven. Let's pray. Father, you know all of us. You know our weaknesses and our strengths, and you know your blessings, and you know, Lord, how many times we cannot wrap our head around all the things that happen around us, and that give us wisdom. Help us understand your word. God, I just pray that you would touch our hearts and our lives and just move upon us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us in our thoughts and our prayers. Lord, help us to be a witness to a lost and dying world, and help us, Lord, to take comfort in your word. Help me to give the message today, the teaching today, with wisdom and clarity. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18, verse 1. These things are not, there's not a lot of interpretation you have to do on this. It's pretty explanatory, self-explanatory. So many times in the Bible, he'll give you something one place, and then a little bit before, a little bit after, he'll give you the answer if you keep reading. And so there's an awful lot of things that bother a lot of people that really shouldn't bother them. If they keep reading, they'll find the answer to what that means. Now, this is not a chapter where you have a whole lot of things. The one big thing that divides many, many Bible teachers is who is Mr. Babylon? Who is Mr. Babylon? Where is this city? Now, some people believe that real Babylon will be rebuilt again and built up new. You know, I guess today we could do that almost overnight. Not quite, but very, very quickly in all the world. But others believe that it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the Mr. Babylon. And then there's some, because of the wealth and the riches and everything of this chapter, they think it's the United States. The United States is Mr. Babylon. See, if you read commentaries, you're going to get all sorts of answers. And some of them have absolutely nothing to do with what they're talking about. These guys don't know what they're talking about. I have bought commentaries, and then I look at a difficult passage for me, and the guy just ignores it. Like it wasn't even in the Bible. He doesn't say a word about it because he doesn't know. He's the commentator. He sold you his books for $100, but he doesn't know what he's talking about either. So some of the hard problems you're just going to have to answer for yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you the answer before. I've already told you. It's mystery Babylon. It's not Babylon. It's mystery Babylon. And I think it's Rome. I believe it's the Roman Catholic Church. I believe it's the Roman Empire. And I'll give a couple more reasons before we get through. But I believe it is Rome. And several verses, look down at verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I don't believe anybody probably killed more Christians than Rome, either the political Rome or the spiritual Rome, because you take the Inquisition and all sorts of things, and anybody, you having that Bible in your hand, you realize that that was a death sentence to be translating that Bible, to put it into your hand, and that they would go after you and destroy you. What is the standard application of the Catholic Church? You don't interpret the Bible. You read it, but we interpret it for you. We are the messengers. And so, anyway, I do believe it's Rome. And so as you'll see through here, it's just the death of Rome, this mystery of Babylon. And it's scary, man. It comes right out of heaven from an angel. And the message is, I think it ought to scare the living daylights out of people. But they don't believe it. Their problem is, see, they don't believe it. And somebody's interpreted it for them where it doesn't mean anything. When I went to college, I had a major in Bible and a minor in English and history. And in my book of Revelation teaching, they had a book called Worthy is the Lamb by Ray Summers. And we had to study that book. That was the book that interpreted Revelation for us. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. A 10th grade student reading his Bible for the third time could have done a better job. He took it all. It's all gone. All of Revelation is past. It happened in Nero's time or something like that, you know. That way, you don't have to hurt anybody's feelings. And you don't have to take a stand that would make anybody mad at you. Anyway, after these things, what we had in chapter 17 of Revelation, when it's talking about mystery Babylon. After these things, I saw another angel. Those who got an angel come down from heaven, got a message from heaven by an angel, having great power. This is no little weakling. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily. You know, I have a few times in my life been accused of being too loud. Too loud, too fat, too big, too much. So you can say, put two on anything and you can criticize me. Cried with a strong voice, mightily cried with a strong voice. And what's he saying? Babylon the Great is fallen. Well, that ought to be good news. What about the rejoicing when Germany was conquered in World War II? I can remember. I was a kid, 9 years old. I can remember. I remember the shortening of all sorts of things that we had. And I could remember the bonds and everything they were selling. And boy, what a tremendous celebration. Sometimes I think Life magazine had a picture of the soldiers going through the streets of New York and just kissing women all over the place and swinging them around. And everybody's dancing in the streets. They were happy when that World War II was over. Well, you ought to be happy with this. Babylon the Great is fallen. That's become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So many times in the Bible, birds will stand for devils. Like in the parable of the little bush, a little plant that grows into a huge tree, and lots of the birds are in it. Well, it's the church out of line, and it's being filled with devils. And I do believe the church is run by devils in many, many places and many denominations. They're not all for the Lord. If you know about it, what's happening in churches across this country, now they look so religious in a certain way, but they got all sorts of corruption going on underneath. And it's an amazing thing. I understand how somebody could really get disgusted with organized Christianity. I don't know whether you can or not, but I can. Organized Christianity, it looks so good, it's so pious, it's so sweet. Only problem is, it isn't real. They're not really serving God, they're serving themselves. Many a preacher, he wants to get a full-time job as a preacher so he can dress in nice clothes. He doesn't have to get up there and put a roof on in 100-degree weather and some other things to make a living. Bless your heart. He's not really interested in what God wants, and he doesn't even know. May even be lost himself. I remember when Brent was 19 and he was visiting for me, and I'd taught all the guys how to witness and talk to people. I got this phone call. This man called me up and he said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel." I said, "Well, that's good. Praise the Lord." And he said, "Do you know this man, Brent Riggs?" I said, "This young man, Brent Riggs." Brent, we called him the zipper. If he turned sideways and stuck his tongue out, you'd think it was a zipper. He was just thin and tall. He didn't have an ounce of fat on him anywhere, you know, just skinny kid, but bold as a lion. The guy, I mean, he'd go out there out to the Southwest where those kickers were, those rodeo guys, you know, like that. And he'd stand right up to him and witness to him. He was bold as a lion. And he said, "Your man came to my house, knocked on my door, and asked if I was a Christian. I told him I was a preacher." And he said, "Well, I still need to be a Christian." He said, "Well, I'm a pastor, and an ordained pastor of a church." He said, "You still need to be born again." He said, "I was insulted." I said, "Well, I thank you very much for your phone call, because that's exactly what I told him to teach. Ask, it doesn't matter who you are. Are you born again? Doesn't matter who you are. Has your sins been forgiven? Doesn't matter what position you may have somewhere. Have you been saved by the Holy Spirit of God and changed?" And a lot of preachers are going to be in hell. There are preachers that are not saved. And that's a pitiful shame, but it's true. At any rate, it's become the habitation of devils and hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. If we actually knew what some of these things are doing, some of these churches or denominations, they are multi-billion dollar businesses. Give it to a hospital. And I've got to thank the Lord for hospitals. They're not cheap, you know that? You know they don't run them on a poverty basis? They make a lot of money. Well, what about the money that you give that's over what they need for this month? Where do you think it goes? Stocks and bonds. Cigarette things. Liquor. Yeah. You got a whole lot of God's money invested in liquor and cigarettes. That's true. Don't know whether you like it or not, but it's true. Okay. Cage of every unclean, hateful bird. Here's a place they can fit. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The Catholic Church has one outstanding feature that almost no other Christian church has. It is a political state. Do you hear me? It's a political state. We, in the United States, have ambassadors to their courts. Hitler and Mussolini had contracts with, concordance with the Catholic Church. They have all of this stuff together. They were backed by, when they were controlling kings, Spain was the most religious of ever a nation around and wanted to please the Pope. And Spain was their army. They went out and fought other people for them. So it's a political entity. It is a huge, tremendous business. And bless your hearts, there's a whole lot of unclean birds there. All nations, verse 3, have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, now here's a good verse for you. Come out of her, my people. Where's this message coming from? Heaven. Cardi, if you believe John, if you believe what's written, this angel that comes from heaven, reaching out to the earth, right here in this message, come out of her, my people. Why do you want to come out of her? Well, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. You know, a lot of people want to get you into something. And a lot of our young marriage and whatever, they've decided to live together like Hollywood. That's the end thing. Well, we don't put up with it. We haven't put up with it. We're not going to put up with it. But they want that kind of a life and whatever. The problem is you partake of their sins. And so you partake of her judgment. You go along with people and you get in the wrong car and somebody's in there smoking marijuana or crack cocaine or something like that. Maybe you haven't even touched it. When that car is picked up in a wreck, you're charged with all the rest of them. That's right. You're there. You're going to partake of their sins. There's guys in jail right now because of the wrong crowd. That's how they got there. And what's the police officer going to do? What's he going to think? Why, he thinks you're with them. And if you're with them, you're doing what they're doing. Or you're approving of what they're doing. So a lot of things like that that gives a lot of trouble. So here's a message from heaven. And I've actually used this in witnessing to people that were in garbage. And by the way, a whole lot of the average common people know they're in garbage. They know their priest. They know their church. They know the people in the community that go to that church. I heard of a guy who was a leader in his church. He wasn't a pastor or anything like that, but oh, he was a big man in the church, gave a lot of money to the church. And he gave a party to all his contractors, and he brought in the prostitutes and paid for them, so they got the prostitutes for free. That was a guy, big guy in a church, a Baptist church, by the way. You think they're not happening out there? They're happening right here. And God is saying, come out of her. You better know when to get out of some places. When your pastor sits up in a big chair in front of the congregation and says, I am God, I think you better get your tail out of that seat and just get up and move out as quick as you can move out. And that's what the message is from heaven. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Why? That you be not partakers of her sins. Some places you don't want to go. And if you're a follower, I'm sorry for you. One thing, I can't blame anybody for any of my sins and my problems I got into when I was young, because if I didn't want to go, I just didn't go. And many times I got myself out of trouble because I just didn't go with the crowd that got in trouble. And some of you have been both directions of that. You've been in the group, and then sometimes you've got out of the group and you saw the group go down the drain. Some places you need to get out of. Some churches you need to get out of. Some relationships you need to get out of. And that's exactly the message from heaven. You don't want to be a partaker of their sins. I had a coach. He was in my teaching, and he and I were friends. And he said, hey, Kincaid, I'm going to take my motorcycle and ride to New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And he said, won't you come with me? I said, man, it would cost me too much. He said, what do you mean? No, it's free. All these women are free. You don't have to worry about it. I said, no, it would cost me too much. You don't understand. It would cost me my wife. It would cost me my job. It would cost me my testimony. It would cost me getting kicked out of the church. I can't afford them. I don't care if you say they're free. They're not free to me. They're not free to me. They're costly. Those free women are the ones you pay the most for. Get out of her. Get out of relationships. You know the reason why a lot of these people go through 4 and 5 rehab, drug rehabs? They don't change their friends. Or they don't change their family. They don't get away from them. And if they go back, they're going to have a weak day and they'll be right there just to feed them again and they're right back on it again. You have to get out. And that's the message right there. Wonderful message in this chapter that would fit us at any time, in any place, every day of your life, come out of her that you don't share their sins. Okay. For our sins have reached unto heaven and God hath remembered her iniquities. Well, you know, God is such a patient God. I am amazed at the patience that God shows in the scriptures. Towards Christians, you can commit a sin and you don't seem to pay for it. God's waiting on you to repent. God's giving you an opportunity to repent. Can you imagine Jezebel? He gave her space to repent. How about her husband, Ahab, gave him space to repent? 20 years. And then her judgment came. Well, I tell you what, this mystery Babylon has had space to repent. And they've got the word of God. They just don't believe it. They've interpreted themselves out of it. And that's exactly what you can do with the right kind of interpretation. You can simply take the meaning away. And somebody doesn't know what's going on. Her sins have reached unto heaven. That sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah. What did the angel say or God say to Abraham? Said, I've heard about this place. I'm going to go down and take a look at it. Hey, that was just a simple way of telling him, hey, their sins have reached unto heaven. They've got my attention now. It's not a little thing anymore. They've got my attention. And so heaven has her attention on Babylon. Now, she said, God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. The cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. I don't always understand your sins reaching to the third and the fourth generation. I don't always understand sometimes when God allows something like that to happen. You go on with your riches, you die in your riches and go on so far down the line, and later down the line, years down the line, it comes back and it hits your grandkids and your great-grandkids and it wipes them out. But the Bible's full of it. It's absolutely full of it in the Old Testament. Now, part of that is seed that you're sowing. And you don't realize what you're doing every day with your kids. They see you. They understand. They know when you cheat. They know when you lie. They even know when you sleep around. Somebody was saying his wife didn't travel with him all the time, but she sent one of the daughters with him when he traveled outside because she was the snitch. So this little daughter he knew would tell everything that happened along the trip, whatever she wouldn't go to. Well, that was the wife protecting herself and what she was doing, sending that little girl along so she'd know what was going on. Keep the man straight. Well, her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her double. Well, it's finally come around. Hey, it seemed like a long time coming. The problem is you and I do not think like God when it comes to time. God is not in time. God is above and beyond time. Time is beneath and below God. You and I are in time. I mean, I look around every day and see, goodness gracious, another day's come by, another year's come back. I'm a year older. It's been this much time since that happened or something like that. We're in time. I think in time all the time. I really don't set an alarm. I generally wake up when I'm supposed to wake up just because that's my nature. I don't know why. I've got an internal clock or something. But the thing of it is, you and I are in time. I've got a 70-odd years. Of course, I got plus 10 on that. And God's not in that. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. God does not think like you think because he is outside of time. And your little problem, those of you that raise kids, you notice how they can't stand to wait a minute for anything, whether it's pain or whatever. They can't stand it. And yet you can stand back and say, no, you can give it a little time. You, from your perspective, looking down on your child, you can understand, no, you got to have some patience. It's going to take a little while. You've got to get quiet. Well, now God's looking at you that way. You who live 70-odd years, you think it's terrible when one day goes by and you're in pain. When your bills have just really caught up with you, or disasters hit you, or look at those people in California, all those homes burned, all that land burned. Can you imagine that idiot driving down the road with a bunch of flags throwing them out into the forest? No telling how many people he's killed. And if they hadn't have caught him, how many more would die? But you look at that and you think, oh, everything I had in this life was in that house. Yeah, it's a bad scene. I would hate to go through it. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. She does glorify herself. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Well, a widow in these days right here had a lot more problem than a widow in today. They needed a man. There were not the jobs for women. This is modern history you're talking about, the way women are treated today and even the vote. When slaves got their freedom and got the right to vote before women did in the United States, except in Wyoming. They started out that way. Women could vote in Wyoming. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. All right, now we've come to the judgment, and it's going to be one day, boom, everything's going to go wrong with Mystery Babylon. Kings of the earth who've committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. Now, what is the kings of the earth committing fornication? They have agreements. They have signed treaties. They've made contracts and whatever with the church. They have a lot of people like that man I was telling you about. He's a big contractor, so he's got a lot of money. And the church isn't going to stand up to him because he's got a lot of money and he pays. That's fornication. What that church has done is fornicated their love on somebody for money and not served God as they should have served God. God should have stood up for what's going wrong. Kings of the earth committed fornication, lived deliciously. They're going to bewail her. Oh, yeah. When all of a sudden things are got changed up here, and this is one of the reasons why some people interpret this as the United States. Never in the history of the world, not in ancient Babylon or Nineveh or Jerusalem or Egypt, not any time in the world has riches been like you and I live in. Never. Never been in history. If you're on welfare, you're probably better off than Solomon was. And by the way, if you have one wife, you're a whole lot better off than Solomon. I have a hard enough time keeping one wife happy. What in the world would I do with 1,000? He didn't know their first names. Man. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment. Well, I tell you what, if I was out in California, I'd be a long ways away from those fires. If I was in Hawaii, I'd be a long ways away from that volcano. Wouldn't you? Well, that's what they're doing. All of a sudden, this mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed That great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. No man buyeth her merchandise anymore, and the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine eyed wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep, horses, chariots and slaves and the souls of men. Wow. There's an awful lot of stuff that make a lot of people happy. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city. They're going to cry. Just like you can look on television and you can see these people out there in California, well, all over the West, there's some 60, some odd forest fires. And they've burned hundreds of houses. And I saw a lady and she's just weeping because all of her pictures are gone. Verlene used to have a couple of albums at a certain place and say, look, kids, if it ever have a fire, grab those first. She wanted to keep her pictures, you know. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet. What are the colors of the Catholic Church? You can think about that. Decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, look at this judgment coming here. In 1 hour, so great riches has come to nothing, naught. And every shipmaster and the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, cried when the smoke of her burning, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour, said it again, is she made desolate. How long would it take to make you desolate today? Huh? One hour, that's all it takes. One little bullet, that's all it takes. One car wreck, that's all it takes. One little blood vessel breaking in your brain, all that it takes. And then everything is more wasted and lost. 1 hour, she is made desolate. Now look at verse 20. It's like that verse we saw up in verse 4, told her to come out of her. Now it says, rejoice over her, thou heaven. May not look like something to you, but to your God in heaven, he's rejoicing that his enemy finally, that these wicked people who would not repent of their sins, these people that have fornicated away his blessing and his teaching and his salvation and all those things for financial success. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. All of the Christians that were persecuted, fed to lions, crucified upside down, crucified and burned to death. Wow. You can read the history if you want to read the right history. The only problem is that a lot of people change history when they don't like what it says. I'm a history guy. I read a lot of books, and you got to know who's written the book. You got to know what his purpose is. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel, another big one, took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with vengeance shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And then here's the list of descriptions. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Well, those things bring you a lot of pleasure. TV's not going to run anymore there. Neither is your record player going to run anymore there. And you can't listen to old Elvis sing those spiritual hymns, can you? Musicians, pipers, trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman, whatever craft he shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone not be heard any more at all in thee. You're not going to be eating breakfast. You're not going to have cornbread for supper. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Wow. Nations. Nations. What city has controlled so many nations? What city has been connected to so many nations in all her history? In her was, look at verse 24. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You know what it says? This is the saints are getting, they're finally getting their righteous judgment. How many of them were killed? Look back through life. How many were killed in religious wars? You know, a lot of wars are fought because of religion. And a lot of things people have put down, people that had truth. What'd they do? They just went out and killed them. And we look at it when they go, oh, what a tragedy. And it is. It is a tragedy. You read stories like John Bunyan spent years and years in an English prison simply because he was a preacher that they didn't approve of. And he wrote his books on his family would have to come and feed him. Now here, you got a television, you got a gym, you got days outside, you got a hospital, you got all sorts of things in prison here. It's almost like a nursing home for old age. And in Mexico, as I understand it, the family's got to feed them. They got to bring them food every day, or they don't get food. Well, that's the way it was here. And it has been throughout history. And John Bunyan, the stopper for the milk. It was paper wrapped up round, around, around, made a stopper. That's what he wrote his books on. He wrote his books while he's, you know, you can read John Bunyan's books. They're great books, actually. You have to understand a little bit of medieval times and their way of thinking and writing. They're fantastic books. The man knew the Lord. And he would have loved to have gotten out of prison. He had a little blind girl. One of his daughters was blind, and his family, what were they going to do? The wife couldn't go in because she had a college degree and get a job and make more money than her husband, like you can. But not way in those days. He would write on that stopper, and he'd use that stopper and send them out. And he wrote some things. Great, great, great books. But that was John Bunyan. The light of the candle shall shine no more. The bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The Roman Empire had many, many gods. Rome was not an innovative, creative civilization. It was a copy. They were great soldiers. There wasn't anybody had greater soldiers than Rome. And when Julius Caesar, he's not just Julius Caesar, he's Julius Caesar the Conqueror. He conquered a lot of people. Mark Antony wasn't up there because he was a smart or have a good-looking guy. He was there because he'd conquered. He was a soldier. He had an army behind him. Constantine's the same thing. He was a soldier, had an army behind him. What Rome did when he went into other places and conquered them was saw what they had and took the best. And so you had the religion of Babylon coming up through it. And many of the things that are in the church today are there because they were in the Roman Empire. Now, what happened? Constantine conquered in the name of Christ. He went in and conquered Rome. He became the the emperor, and he made Christianity a legal religion. Well, that meant that they didn't die out in the being crucified or die by fighting lions in the arenas and whatever like that. But that didn't change the church that much. It made them legal. Now, a few years later, they made it the only church. It was only one little group, but the emperor got it. I don't know. Shoot. Do you think Constantine got saved? I have no idea. I doubt it. I think it was a political thing that he did to conquer with. Whatever. He had a vision of some sort. But at any rate, they all of a sudden said, now then, Christianity is the only religion you can have in the Roman Empire. Wow. What about all those Babylonian religions? What about all those Babylonian holidays? What about all those other religions and their holidays? Well, they had to do something about it, since the whole country is converted in one day. You wonder why there's compromise? You wonder why these things exist? Expediency. It's a simple way to do things. All of a sudden, we'll take, you want to keep your drunken feast. Okay, we'll take it. Take these 2 weeks for that and call it a Christian name. Okay, you have this thing over here. It's throughout all of religion, and not just the Catholics now. Everything that ever broke from the Catholics still has a lot of this stuff in them. And that's where they come from. And you're raised on them, and you loved them. Christmas was my favorite time of the year. I really loved Christmas. Until I began to look at the Bible, and I said, wait a minute there. How do I reconcile this? And I finally come to the place, and I didn't like doing it, that I had to stand against it. Because it's almost like standing against family. And it is standing against family. And you know, that's hard. And so I was accused of a lot of things, and people got their feelings hurt and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, are you going to be true to Christ and to His Word, or are you going to be true to traditions of your family and people? Well, that's a problem many people have to make today. Even they make it as to whether or not they take Christ as their Savior. I have had them tell me, this is in Guatemala. I know you're right. I know you got the Bible. I know you're preaching with the Bible. It's what the Bible says. I read it. But I cannot do that to my family and to my grandfather and to my great-grandfather. If they went to hell, I'm going to hell too. You're going to have to make a decision. Do you love your father more than you love Christ? Do you love your family more than you love Christ? Got to make a decision. You know what he said? He said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Lord bless you.